Thank you, Sai Prakash. Thank you, Prem. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And today is September 18th, 2014. And the last festival was Ganesh Chaturthi on September 9th. But nevertheless, Prashanti is ever bubbling with activity, with devotional fervor, with intense love for Bhagavan. Because that is how Swami has shaped this divine hamlet. And every day here is new. Every day, at least for me, it is new, it is fresh. And you don't know what is going to unfold. Just like when Bhagwan was there in physical form, you did not know what magic of uncertainty he is going to play today. It is the same even now. It is the same even now. You do not know whom you are going to meet after the morning bhajan. You do not know whom you are going to encounter today. You do not know which person is going to, who has come for the first time to Prashantinilam, is going to share with you something out of the world. You do not know whom you will get to serve today. You do not know what beautiful opportunity will come your way to fulfill your life, fill your life, sanctify your life. And that is how Prashanti is even now. No day here is boring. No day here is lackluster. It is, if anything, it can only be refreshing, it can only be rejuvenating, it can only be elevating. That is Prashanti. And what adds to all this is the string of festivals, celebrations, events, special occasions, and it goes on. And why not? And how else can it be? Because it is the spiritual hub of the universe. It is the epicenter of the spiritual revolution. Just for example, today was the culmination of the Ramayana Saptaham that the boys were doing in the hostel, and so you had a program in the Cyclone Hall as a grand finale. It was a lovely treat of music and devotion. Last Sunday, September 14th, 2014, was the Sai Sannidhi Day. So that was an occasion where the former students of Bhagavan's educational institutions who are now engaged in serving directly in his mission, living and staying in Prashantinilam or Vrindavan, who chose by Bhagavan's grace to stay back and serve in his various institutions, be it in the schools, hospitals, shopping complex, canteen, central trust, radio Sai, yes, any of these institutions, who had this chance to offer, who have this chance to offer and serve and work in his hallowed institutions, they had this program. If you have heard their program, live audio or video on Radio Sai website, you know what I'm talking about. But it was a very interesting program. You had three parts to it: Vedam, Bhajans and Drama. And different group of these alumni, they presented how Bhagavan initiated, encouraged, corrected, directed, demonstrated and sustained all these various activities, all these various disciplines, all these various mediums that he has given for us to connect with him. And for instance, take the Vedam group, and they went on to recount how Bhagwan set up the first Veda Pathshala way back in the 1960s, and how Bhagwan at that time itself had mentioned that he is going to set up a Vedic university. And after a few years, the Veda Pathshala itself closed down, and everyone, you know, was wondering, what is it Bhagwan said? He said he's going to set up a university, a Vedic university, and the Veda Pathshala itself, which had a few boys, which had probably a dozen boys, that itself closed down. And no one had any clue at that time what Bhagwan was talking about, until it dawned on them what Bhagwan had mentioned. What Bhagwan has perhaps mentioned was, there will come a time when the entire university, every student in the university, would be chanting Vedam. No one today who joins the portals of Satya Sai schools or educational institutions ever walks out of the portals without knowing how to chant some of these very, very powerful Vedic mantras. And if you join the higher secondary school, it is very much a part of this curriculum. You will, once you come out of the Sri Satya Sai higher secondary school, you would have learned all the principal mantras, because that is so much part of your schedule, that is so much a part of what you learn there, what you imbibe there. And every time this happens, every time I see this, the thing that always occurs to me is that declaration that Bhagwan once made about his mission, about himself. He said, I have come for a Veda Samrakshana, Vidvat Poshana and Bhakta Samrakshana. What does it mean? Veda Samrakshana, it is the restoration of the timeless values of the ancient culture, all of which has been beautifully documented and powerfully preserved in the Vedas. Vidvat Poshana, providing sustenance to those who are engaged in the regular study and steady dissemination of these potent Vedic principles and practices that can actually put mankind on the royal road to perennial peace, which can grant them that much needed solace, so much needed in current times. Vidvat Poshana and Bhakta Samrakshana, protection of those who have surrendered, at least in some measure, they have given their time, their energy, their interest, their aspirations, their desires, their anxieties, their goals and their missions, their restless minds and their troubled hearts, their youth, their vigor, their resources, their results, everything, who have decided to dedicate, at least to some extent, to God, to the Godward path. Swami said, I will look after them, Bhakta Samrakshana. I will ensure their safety, their joy, their happiness. This is, he said, is the third most important mission. As the Dasara Yajnam happens in Prashantinilam, as the flames go up with the chanting of the Vedic hymns and the pouring of the holy oblations into the fire in the Purnachandra auditorium, sanctifying and purifying the air, the ambience, and at the same time purifying our thoughts, our feelings. It's such a holy fire where you can just pour everything, and anything you put into that is going to become sanctified. And whenever I see that scene, I cannot help but recall these declarations of Bhagwan. And as I was telling you, so on the Sai Sannidhi day, the Vedam group took everyone on this journey of how Bhagwan instituted the chanting of these Vedic mantras and how he corrected students, how he encouraged students. And one of the teachers, Mr. Praveena from the higher secondary school, mentioned how Bhagwan once said that Sanskrit, na swasamo, Sanskrit is my very breath. That is what Bhagwan had once told the students. And very interestingly, I came across something which really was very heartening for me. Apparently there is a British school, St. James Independent School, which has made Sanskrit compulsory in the heart of London. There is the school which has realized that they have to teach Sanskrit so that their students can grasp math, science and other languages better. Warwick, who is the head of the Sanskrit department there, Mr. Warwick Jessop, he says, Sanskrit is the most perfect and logical language in the world, the only one that is not named after the people who speak it. Indeed, the very word Sanskrit means literally perfect language, the language which is perfected. And Paul Moss, who is the headmaster of the school, he says, the Devanagari script and the spoken Sanskrit are the two of the best ways for a child to overcome stiffness of fingers and the stiffness of the tongue. He goes on to say, today's European languages do not use many parts of the tongue and mouth while speaking and many finger movements while writing. Whereas Sanskrit helps immensely to develop cerebral dexterity because of its phonetics. And that's why at the junior level, they have made it mandatory for all the students to learn Sanskrit for minimum 6 years. And by the way, the school's meals are also fully vegetarian. And Mr. Warwick, the head of the department, who has been part of this course for the past 20 years, he went on to explain, saying that Sanskrit in its most ancient form predates both Greek and Latin. In fact, all Indo-European languages, including English and many languages that are spoken all the way from the Americas to Iceland, to the Bay of Bengal, all of them descend from Sanskrit. Sanskrit is the culmination of millennia of endeavor to refine speech and thought so that human race can aspire to the heights of civilization and fathom the depths of philosophical profundity. It is the pinnacle of achievement of people of enormous intellect. A line of scholars have consciously refined this language, and they are all divinely inspired. The great Panini grammarian, he was the end of this line of scholars, and he mentioned 64 grammarians before him in his book Astadhyayi. All of these have contributed to make this divine language with divine inspiration a way to document what came to them, the divine whispers, and pass it on for generations. And what is of great significance is that all the benefits of knowing this is it helps us to imbibe deeply the universal ideas that have been enunciated by great poets of antiquity. Sanskrit is a perfectly phonetic language, unlike English. In English, the spelling of words is not a consistent guide to their pronunciation. We all know this. How beauty is put and beauty is but. But in Sanskrit, once students learn the sounds, they are able to read words easily, and that gives them a lot of confidence. This Sanskrit teacher, Jessup, he says, it is one of our most popular subjects at the junior level. And that day when the Vedam program happened on the Sai Sannidhi, Mr. Praveena, he did a small oration in Sanskrit. And in fact, in the Sri Sathya Sai High Secondary School, they have a Sanskrit week when students are encouraged to speak only in Sanskrit during that entire 7 days. So you had such beautiful insights, beautiful instructions that Bhagwan had given to the Vedam group over all these years, right from 1960s, and that is what they presented in a capsule form just for 20-25 minutes on Sai Sannidhi Day on September 14, 2014. But what I wanted to do is to continue this discussion because of the limitations of time. They could only present for 20 minutes in the Sai Kulwant Hall, but what we are going to do in the future episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside is to document every little thing that Bhagwan has mentioned about Vedam, about bhajans, about these dramas, and use them for our own benefit. So in the coming episodes of this program, I'm going to have all the people who are involved to come and share, because I know a lot of brainstorming happened and a lot of insights and a lot of ideas and a lot of reflections and reminiscences happened, and all of this has to be documented and all of this has to be shared with all of you dear listeners. And that is what we'll definitely do in the coming episodes as Dasara nears and as you see the glory of Indian culture in the Dasara celebrations. It's time also for us to reflect on these ways by which these timeless values have been enshrined for us. But today I have something else, something very connected with Dasara, but something very, very exceptional, something very, very special. Today we're going to have someone who has witnessed, not only witnessed, who has been a part of the Dasara celebrations as intensely or perhaps more than the way the boys and the staff and students of the university participate, who has been an indelible part of the Dasara celebrations by divine design, who has had the chance to not only witness Dasara at very close quarters, but also has been directed by Bhagwan to be someone who was so much a part of the celebrations in a major way. And that continues even till this day. He is someone who actually needs no introduction because he is an inspiration for so many. Someone who is known for his fiery and inspiring talks and even more for the fiery work that he does for Bhagwan. Someone who has not only himself dedicated to Bhagwan but has ensured that so many more spiritual aspirants, so many more youngsters, so many more also benefit from Bhagwan's love, who has brought hundreds of people from the United Kingdom to Prashanthi Nilayam, and he's been doing this for so many decades now. He's been had the direct interaction with Bhagwan. getting instructions from him at a very personal, direct level for 3 decades now, who has not only basked this close proximity of Bhagwan, where Bhagwan has guided him on his spiritual quest, but as I mentioned, he's been such a wonderful instrument of Bhagwan, especially in his medical mission and so many other ways, and that continues even till this day. Someone whom, whenever he spoke, whenever he stood up to share about Bhagwan's love, Bhagwan's mission, Bhagwan's grace, Bhagwan's mercy, he rocked. He rocked for Prashanti, he rocked for Swami, he rocked for his master. And today, we are extremely grateful to Bhagwan that we have him with us in the studios, Mr. Ajit Popat from London. We are going to listen to him in a short while in this final episode, final segment of Thursday Live from the studios of Prashanthanilam.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside, and I'm Team Radio Sai's Vishu. The time in the studios now is 8:56, and as I just mentioned, we are going to listen now to Mr. Ajit Popat from London. He's here with us in the studios. A warm welcome to you, sir, to the studios of Radio Sai. Thank you so much for being with us on this beautiful Thursday, even as we eagerly await the Dasara celebrations. We are grateful to Bhagwan that you are here a few days before Dasara, and we are having this chance, because I know once Dasara starts, you get so busy. Really grateful to Bhagwan that you are here with us. And I really request that today we spend the time ruminating on the significance of Navaratri, on the significance of the divine principle of the Mother, on the mercy and the magnificence of the Lord as the Divine Mother.
Jananeem Sai Mam Devi Satya Sai Jagat Guru Pada Padme Tayoshitva Pranamami Muhur Muhur Jananeem Ishwaram Mahadevi Satya Sai Jagat Guru Pada Padme Tayoshitva Pranamami Muhur Muhur.
At the very outset, I invoke the blessing of our dearest Sai Mother, also Mother Ishwaramma, to whom we are eternally grateful for having blessed us, the Shiva Shakti Swarup Avatara, the Paripurna Avatara, Pratyaksha Avatara, Prema Avatara, to the entire humanity. I am very much grateful to Brother Pushti for having introduced me, and I also thank very much the listeners of Radio Sai for sparing their time to listen to my more than experiences that I have experienced with Bhagwan. It is very beautifully said by one of the direct disciples of Bhagwan Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsadeva, Swami Abhedananda. He was a great devotee of Bhagwan Ramakrishna Paramahamsadeva, but primarily he was also devoted to the lotus feet of Ma Sharada. And in one of his very exalted moments of devotion, he composed a very beautiful sloka, which says, Ahe tu kiti karuna kilate sabhav. Drushta katorodaya apite bhajante. Twameva sarva jagatam janani prapatri. Sri Saishwari Rame. Sri Saradeshwari Rame. Tavasuprabhatam. The free translation of this beautiful verse is that, O Divine Mother, your love is so motiveless and it is so full of compassion that only realizing this aspect, my stone heart melts. And while doing so, I offer my humble salutations again and again and again at your divine lotus feet. And in this moment of beautiful, glorious dawn, I seek your divine blessing to commence the day for the day. This particular shloka is very appropriate, particularly when we talk about our Sai Mother. Those of us who have been fortunate enough to have darshanam, sambhashanam, sparshanam, ashirvadam, prasadam, and anugraha, we all have realized one thing which is very common, and that is, Ahetu kiti karuna kilate sabhava. The mercy and the compassion that Swami showered was completely motiveless.
Unconditional.
He accepted us the way we are. There was no precondition. If there is something known as unconditional love, then that can be only be imagined, explained and experienced only at the looking at the life of Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Like Bhagavan once very beautifully told me, puppet, lena dena band hai, phir bhi ananda hai.
Wow.
There is nothing to gain. There is nothing to lose. And yet, there is Brahmanandam, Paramanandam, Nityanandam, Akhandanandam, Atmanandam, Adbhutanandam, Asharyanandam, Premanandam, Yoganandam, Turyanandam, Satyanandam. And then finally he said, now Satyanandam. So here is the master who has showered his grace. I remember once outside Sai Kulwantol, somebody told me that Bhagavan is an ocean of compassion. I smiled at him and I said, my brother, you are right, but you are also wrong. Swami is not the ocean of compassion. Swami is compassion. Ocean has got some limits. As Bhagavan once very beautifully told us, that when it is shower, it is my grace. Now we are in the rainy season, when it thunders, that is my voice.
Wow.
So coming back to what we were discussing, brother, earlier, as you very beautifully exemplified the importance of Vijayadashmi festival, which is going to be very soon, when the Prashanti Nilayam will become the hub center of Gram Seva, which is Ram Seva, Vidwan Mahasabha proceedings in the afternoon, and then of course, the icing on the cake will be the Veda Purusha Sapta Jnana Yagna, where the Bhagavan himself, where the Veda Purusha will accept in the spirit of Brahma Arpanam Brahma Harvira Brahma Agno Brahmana Autam. And it is very important to understand that what does Swami actually simplify and exemplify by this Navratri festival. I remember once I was sitting at the divine lotus feet of our beloved Swami in the inner room. It was after the morning hours between the gap of bhajan and darshan. And Swami, as the days were approaching that time also of Navratri festival, Swami said, Puppet, during festival we celebrate Mahalakshmi. Who is Mahalakshmi? Is there anybody who is actually Mahalakshmi? Because we say Lakshmi also. Padma sanastite devi para brahma swarupine parameshi jagan mahata mahalakshmi namostute. This is one of the stotra of Mahalakshmi stotram. Then who is Mahalakshmi? Then Bhagavan also said that there is Mahasaraswati. You say that the goddess of wisdom and the knowledge is Saraswati. Then who is Mahasaraswati? And then you also worship Kali, as his entire life was devoted to Bhagavan Ramakrishna Paramahamsa Deva, worship Mother Kali as a little child. But we say it is Mahakali. So what is the difference between Saraswati and Mahasaraswati, Lakshmi and Mahalakshmi, Kali and Mahakali?
Mm-hmm.
And I was speechless. There is a very beautiful saying, brother, in Sanskrit, Maunam Sarvartha Sadhanam. When you are doubtful, silence is golden.
Okay.
So I kept quiet and Bhagavan very beautifully explained. When the worship of the Mahalakshmi would simplify, that the Lakshmi which has been endowed with you as the boon from the Lord, when you, it is utilized for your, you yourself and your family, is Lakshmi. When the same Lakshmi is devoted at the divine lotus feet of the Lord in the spirit of Seva, Nishkam Karma, it becomes Mahalakshmi.
Wow.
When the goddess of knowledge and worship, wisdom has worshipped you with the highest knowledge, and when you utilize that knowledge for your own self-realization and liberation, then it remains only as Saraswati. But that knowledge and wisdom, when it is distributed in the spirit of caring and sharing, in the spirit of Swastip Prajabhyam Paripalayantaha, Nyayena Maryena Mahi Mahisha Go Brahmanebhya Suvamastu Nityam Samastu Loka Sukhino Bhavantu, for the redemption of one and all, then that becomes Mahasaraswati. The energy, the physical, the mental, the intellectual, the psychic, the spiritual, the moral, and the religious power that one has been bestowed with by God. And if it is utilized only for his own selfish motive and his family, that power is only Kali. When that power, that energy becomes translated into Gram Seva as a Ram Seva, when it is for the purpose of redemption of one and all, then it becomes Mahakali. So Bhagavan gave a different dimension. That here is one perspective where the boons that you have received from the Lord, when they are utilized in the right spirit, in the right channel, with the right motive, for the benefit of one and all, without any expectation, without any, even the idea of achieving and redeeming yourself as self-realized soul. As Swami Vivekananda very beautifully said, I spit on that liberation which makes me very selfish. His divine master always mentioned to him that shame on you that you want to go into Nirvikalpa Samadhi when millions around you, they are suffering. So Bhagavan gave this very beautiful dimension, and I suppose in the forthcoming weeks when we are going to celebrate, as I said, three different dimensions of Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga and Jnana Yoga. Gram Seva is nothing but the direct example of Karma Yoga. Vidwan Mahaparishat Sabha is nothing but the dissemination of the highest supreme knowledge, Rajavidya, Rajaguru Yoga, by the adult speakers, where it is not the knowledge but the wisdom flows in torrents. And then you have the Veda Purusha Sapta Jnana Yajna, which you very rightly said is Veda Poshana. And Bhakta Vatsala Bhakta Rakshana has designed this beautiful Yajna, which in literal sense is Veda Purusha Sapta Jnana Yajna, which is only lasting for a period of 7 days, culminating on Vijayadashmi Deva's Purnahuti. But Bhagavan's one very beautifully told me that there is no Purnahuti of Sai Yagna, which is the Prema Yagna.
Wow.
No reason for love, no season for love. It's a continuous affair. Does sun take any holiday? No. Did our real master, Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa Deva, Swami Vivekananda, the spiritual giants, Paramahansa Yogananda, and also Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, did they ever observe any holidays? No. For them, their entire life was holiday, H-O-L-Y. So brothers, this particular three-dimensional view that Bhagavan has outlined, Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, is the samanvay, is the combination of this Vijayadashmi festival. And I don't think so anywhere in the world celebration of this kind happens simultaneously at the same time. That in the morning the convoy is marching off carrying Bhagavan Prasadam. With what spirit? Prasadam sarvadosa shoshanam samasta papa khandanam samasta chitta ranjanam samasta loka poshanam. And because it is the direct reflection of Sai Anugraha Atmagnana Pradayakam. It is not a piece of cloth. It is not a laddu made of some ingredients. It is the direct reflection of Bhagavan's love which is being carried in the spirit in which it was conceived. And that band of students, when they march off, they are Karma Yogi. In the afternoon, when afternoon session commences in Sai Kulwanthal, in the immediate divine presence, where the brilliant students of Swami, I call them PhD, whether they are masters or they are not masters. Bhagavan once very beautifully told me, puppet PhD, you know what is the meaning of PhD? Pure-hearted devotee is PhD.
Okay.
So all these Swami students who have assimilated Swami's divine blessing, his teaching, are sharing and caring in the spirit of Jnana Yoga. And in the morning, in the front of Yajna Kundam, when the Veda Purusha Sapta Jnana Yajna commences, literally it is not Veda Purusha Sapta Jnana Yajna, it is the Prema Yajna, where the Lord out of His immense love is receiving the oblation. He is sanctifying it. And he's telling us that this is the highest yoga. Yoga karmeshu kaushalam. This is what I have understood. I've been coming very fortunately with the divine grace for Navratri festival for last, to the best of my memory, for last 24 years.
Wow. 24 years.
For last 15 years I've been coming for Gram Seva. And every time I have come here, I have understood only one thing. Sorry. That here is the master who has very beautifully synthesized the entire teaching of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of all the scriptures. That is why at the end of every adhyaya, of every chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Vyasa very beautifully summarizes. Om Tassaditi Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ayam Upanishade Brahma Vidya Ayam Yoga Sastre Krishnarjan Samvade Parshottam Yoga Name Panchadashodhyaya Samapta Om Sri Sai Krishnar Pramastu. It is the essence of Brahma Vidya. It is the essence of Yoga Sutra. It is the essence of the every scripture that one can imagine. Now that beautiful Srimad Bhagavad Gita of 18th chapter, Swami puts us in no uncertain term as a real example in 7 days. That here you see it, my friend. This is Karma Yoga. This is Bhakti Yoga. This is Jnana Yoga. And what is the Phalashruti? Abhayastam. When he comes in the afternoon and is waiting for the boys to return from Gram Seva, the Divine Mother, the mother aspect of Navratri festival, is anxiously awaiting the arrival of his little children, and all their tiredness, all the fatigue at physical level disappears like the sun appears and the darkness vanishes. I want to also, brother, want to highlight one thing. I'm taking the liberty of saying so, that if you do Satyanarayan Kathavritam, which is very common in Indian philosophy and culture, the priest will ask you to do Sankalpam. Like any religious activity in this country or all over the world, you make a Sankalpa. That what is the motive behind this? And I suppose now the time has come when we all listeners and myself included, we got to make a Sankalpa that while we are physically and mentally getting ready for this beautiful festival, whether we are here physically or not, but we are united in spirit, let us make a Sankalpa. And what is that Sankalpa today? I personally believe that today the greatest need is that we focus our mind to the lotus feet of the Lord. Bhagavan once very beautifully said, this was in Trai Vrindavan. Swami told me that, Bapet, you know why Pandavas won the Mahabharata war? A, they were very righteous. A, they were extremely devoted to Vasudeva Krishna. B, they were the embodiments of purity. Arjuna means purity. But Swami very beautifully said that apart from all these merits, the greatest merit the Pandava had was Chitta Ekagra Vritti. And the ideal example is Guru Dronacharya when he asked Arjuna that, my son, do you see the tree? And he said, no. Do you see the branches? He said, no. Do you see the bird? And he said, no. Then what do you see? I only see the eye of the bird. That single-minded focus, that single-minded devotion is the need of this hour. Rest everything will follow. As Bhagavan very beautifully once told me, that when you invite the Prime Minister of India to come and grace one occasion, you do not have to invite his driver. You do not need to send an invitation to his PA. You do not have to go and extend an invitation to the protocol. They all will come 2 days before Prime Minister's arrival to see whether everything is okay or not. When you have the Chitta Ekagra Vritti, then the essence of Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga and Jnana Yoga will come automatically, effortlessly. And I personally believe that now we are passing through a stage when after almost 3 years and 5 months that Swami has given up his physical frame. And then we live in a world where the world is changing every second. Our guru has not become our perceptor. Our guru has become Google. Our reliance on the knowledge is not within. It's on internet. The significance of internet is completely lost. Out of 24 hours, I am told, on an average in America, 16 hours of the valuable time is spent in front of the screen. Either in the office or the work, or as a pastime, or for any other purpose. We are sitting in front of the screen and we have lost the sight of our own inner screen, where the reflection of the Lord is on 24 hours a day without charging, without switching on. And because there are so many distractions, it is very important that we make a sankalpa that come first day of Navratri, which will be, I think, on 24th of this month, let us make a firm resolution, rain or shine, hot or cold, upwards, upside or down. I remember one Swami beautifully told me in the interview room, a puppet upset, look up and get set. Let us get set. Many, many times Swami reminded us out of infinite love and compassion, hold on to me. I was wondering once, going back to London, why is he telling me again and again, hold on to me? Do I not understand it? Then I realized it on introspection that holding on to the living master is not easy. Maya manusa vesha liladhar, maya nataka sutradhari. He's constantly reminding me, as Swami Brahmananda, the first president of Ramakrishna Mission, very beautifully said, the biggest enemy of spirituality is lethargy. We got to be watchful. Like that Arjuna, whose mind, his concentration, his intellect was focused only on one thing, the eye of the bird. And for us devotee, Bhagwan, his life, his mission, his vision, his teaching, and his life itself should be the focal point of our attention. Sorry. If we do that, then in its true sense, we have celebrated Gram Seva, we have celebrated and enjoyed the Vedapur Sapta Jnana Yagna, and we have also derived the benefit of Vidwan Mahasabha. So, brother and sisters and my dear listeners, sitting in the divine immediate presence of Bhagwan in Mahasamadhi Mandir, I take the liberty of requesting all my brothers and sisters, let's not get drifted away. Let's not scatter our thoughts and our limited energy and time in pursuing something which is temporary. Let us focus our mind like Arjuna. Because at the end of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan beautifully says, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishno, Yatra Partho Dhanurdharaha, Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhuti Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. Lord Yogeshwara is there with us now and here. The million dollar question is puppet ready to become Arjuna? Am I ready to be as pure, as focused, as righteous, as truthful, and as loyal to my master? Because as Bhagavan Ramakrishna Paramahansa Deva taught his direct divine disciples in Dakshineshwar, that when you are living with the living master, yes, the devotion makes a lot of difference, but more than devotion is the loyalty to the lotus feet of the Lord. I hope and pray I will not be misunderstood, but I find, and I'm speaking for my own self, that time and again, my loyalty becomes a question mark. We are the missionaries of Bhagwan. He also wants us to be his visionary. He was not satisfied by saying that my life is my message. He said, your life is my message. I remember one Swami beautifully told me, puppet, work, worship and wisdom. Let your work become worship. But then the time will come when worship itself will become your work. And when that happens, you are then the embodiment of wisdom. Because then there is no differentiation between my work and his work. So Bhagwan wants us to become not only his missionary but visionary. And he has laid down everything in no uncertain terms. 16 vahinis. Satyasai speaks volumes. No avatar in the history of the humanity has documented the manner in which the evidence of divinity as he has done it. Only one Ramayana. And that has become a guiding factor of Indian spirituality. Only one Mahabharata which Vyasa wrote it. Mind you, he was not the witness. The witness was Lord Yogeshwara. Pandavas, Kauravas and Sanjay and Dhritarashtra was given the sight only to hear. Whereas Bhagwan, throughout his life, has demonstrated by means of darshanam, sparshanam, sambhashanam. And of course, millions and millions of people all over the world had the benefit and beneficence of Swapna Darshanam. As Bhagavan once very beautifully told me, Swapna Darshanam Sai Darshanam, Sai Darshanam Satya Darshanam, Satya Darshanam Sakshat Darshanam. Such wonderful ways of communication which he has laid down. He is communicating with us, each one of us, every moment. My problem is either my mobile is discharged, his battery is down, or if it is okay, it is engaged on a conference call or a multiple call. Or it goes back onto the answering machine. I am not through. So brothers and sisters, let us remain focused. Let us listen to his voice. Let us remember that Bhagwan does not need any intermediaries to communicate with us in no way. He has time and again told us that there is a heart-to-heart relationship. Our relationship is direct. Our relationship is ni radai nivasi, ni sarvaradai nivasi. If that is the case, then why do we need outside help? When my mother herself is a master chef, do I really need to go to a restaurant to eat? Do I really need a certificate for somebody to come and tell me that your mother is a good cook? Do I really need to get a certificate from my auntie, that your mother is very kind? Is it not my own experience that she brought me up into this world and she has fostered me and she has nourished me? Is that not enough proof that I need some communicator to come and tell me that Bhagwan is omnipresent and omniscient and omnipresent? Yadevis sarva bhuteshu nidra rupena samstita. Do I make any effort to go to sleep? Do I need any effort to run my metabolism? Do I need any effort and special skill to digest the food? I only swallow it. I don't know what happens after that. Whether you are vegetarian, non-vegetarian, eggetarian, chickenarian, whatever you eat, the end result is red blood. No scientists have been able to certify it and verify it how it happens. That's a fact. The metabolism has been designed by him 24 hours a day, every second. Bhagwan, Brother Pushti, I'm taking the liberty of telling that one day in the interview room, Bhagwan told me, Puppet, you are living on borrowed time. You are living on borrowed energy. And you are living on borrowed money. And that is not true to me. You show me one word, including Bill Gates, who is the richest man of the world. He is living on a borrowed time. He's living on a borrowed energy. Every one of us is connected with the universal master, which is the divine principle, which is all pervading and which is sustaining and maintaining. Just imagine for 1 second the heart stops. Where is the power? What is the beauty of that billions of dollars which is lying in American Express? Where is the energy? I remember once we were sitting in the Trai Vrindavan and Bhagwan was telling me that Puppet, tum bolta hai, main jap karta hai, jap karta hai, jap karta hai. I am holding the rosary in my hand and I am doing japam, 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 japam. Who gave you the strength to hold that rosary? Who gave you the strength? This morning I am okay. Today I am right now talking to you. Tomorrow morning you might get the news from my colleague of Gram Seva that Puppet got paralysis and he has died. Is there any guarantee? Then where is the question of this power, the craze, the ego, the doership, the knowership, the ownership, the doership? So let us make that understanding very clear on this Dashara festival. That the mother aspect of the divine has to be worshipped in this manner. That she is the embodiment of mercy and grace and beauty. Tripura Sundarima. You sing, isn't it? We have such beautiful mother. And we have not understood it, and we are respecting auntie as mother. How many times do we have to remind ourselves there is no substitute for mother? There can be substitute for your laptop. You don't like iPhone, you will have BlackBerry. There is a substitute. But there is no substitute for Sai. Never. It will never happen in the history of the world. No avatar has showered such grace and such love and such compassion unconditionally. Every drop of his blood he is given for us. Is it not time for us to remunerate this aspect and believe that we must be loyal to him? If he says, I am within you, around you, above you, below you, beside you, then why do I need to go anywhere else? If there is a Ganga which is flowing in this full form, right from Gaumukh to Gangotri and then to Rishikesh and to Haridwar, why do I need to go and look for a shower and get close myself in a bathroom? And then I am claimed that I am a clever man. I think I am a very stupid man. Bhagwan once told me, Hindi mein, ghar ke saamne Ganga behti hai, kapat bathroom mein aate hai, akkal nahi hai, buddhi le du. The entire essence of the Vedanta is in front of you in concretized form as Bhagwan Satya Sai Baba. And do I still need to go and look for somebody else as Guru Dakshina? Brothers, I will summarize it once beautifully. Swami told me, Sikshak Shiksha Dega. Sikshak Shiksha Dega. Acharya Disha Dega. Guru Diksha Dega. Bhagwan Sakshi Bhav Dega. Such is the beauty of our love. I think understanding this aspect of his divine love, his benevolence, his unconditional prema, his madhur bhava, will be the real spirit in which we all can, wherever we are, whether we are in Argentina or in London or in Puttaparthi, this is the way that we should celebrate Vijayadashmi. That let Lakshmi become Mahalakshmi. That Saraswati become Mahasaraswati. Then we are translating Bhagwan's divine blessing into action. As Bhagwan Ramakrishna Paramahamsa once very beautifully said, seeing milk is one thing, drinking is another thing, digesting is third thing. After digesting, getting the energy and utilizing that energy for seva is the fourth dimension. And that's what Swami exemplified by his own life, isn't it? And that's what I believe that we should be able to... Then there is a sense of celebrating Vijayadashmi in its true spirit. Then we can say that yes, Durga, Durgmati, Durkaru. Then we have realized that yes, we have received the blessing of Mahakali and we ourselves have become Mahakali. At the moment I am Kali, I got energy. But that energy is for me only. It's useless. It is like lion having a power. Does the lion go and protect a camel? No. Lion is defending his own self. Rich man is looking after his own riches. Half of the time he is busy manipulating it and increasing it. Whereas Bhagwan has told us a beautiful definition. Let your Lakshmi become Mahalakshmi. Let your Saraswati become Mahasaraswati. Let your Kali become Mahakali. Then you are integrated part of this humanity. And that's why Bhagawan said, when you are kind, then only you are capable of becoming mankind.
Amazing. On the same lines, Bhagavan used to share the definition of Hridaya, heart, where Bhagavan used to say that how can you call something as a heart, a Hridaya, when there is no Daya? I always feel that only what beats for the others can be called a heart. What beats for itself is perhaps only an efficient lump of flesh. If it can beat for others, it is heart. And as you very rightly mentioned, the Gram Seva is a very beautiful demonstration of this, of caring for the other, of caring for the other, and of feeling for the other, of having a heart which feels for the other. And that is the transformation that happens with all the students who go into the villages. I think it opens up their minds to the other side of life, which so many of their fellow brothers and sisters experience every day. And in fact, the impact sometimes is so great that I know of so many students who decide to continue to do Gram Seva in some form of the or the other, even after they leave the portals of Bhagwan's institutions. There are so many of them who join different non-governmental organizations, who join various social groups, who do things in their own way, somehow to try and improve the lot of the fellow brothers and sisters. It's only because of the sensitivity that gets inculcated because of this activity. And as you very rightly mentioned, it is so beautiful that in Dasara, Swami has brought all these three things, the Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga together. And you are someone who not only participates in it, but also you bring with you a band of youth from the UK who work along with the students. So how has that experience been, bringing these group of youth who participate along with the students, and how has that initiative, how did that begin, and how has that experience been for you year after year?
Brother Pushti, you see, Swami once very beautifully told me that if you light a little lamp in your own room, the room will be lit. If 10 people will get together and light the lamps in the street, then the street will become brilliant and bright. Imagine, 100 people will do a yagna, the smoke will be visible for miles. To make me understand the essence of the group sadhana, Swami encouraged me to bring the boys. Working together, learning together, praying together, staying together, experiencing the comradeship and the love of each other. That has made me realize that one has to understand the essence of group sadhana. Our preparations for Gram Seva, pardon my saying, does not start 1 month in advance or 2 months in advance. Our preparation starts from Shivratri.
Shivratri?
Yes. Immediately after Shivratri, Bhagwan will give me the instructions. The classes will be held in London for Veda Mantrochar learning. They will be also learning the working knowledge of Telugu. They will be also learning the group songs and practicing the bhajans. They will be also preparing the music programs. And it is only 1 week before them we come here that we are ready for Navratri festival. So it's from Shivratri to Navratri is the preparation time. Our sadhana commences at that time. We are in touch with each other. Every Friday, Saturday, Sunday, either we are meeting in London or Leicester or some focal point where we all can get together. And then there are various meetings. And then they have MP3. We also utilize the advantage of this modern technology. There is a roll call on the internet. They learn Telugu. They learn Vedam. We are talking about the boys, Brother Pushti, with due respect, who do not know their own mother tongue. And yet today I am very happy and proud to say that they recite Rudram, they recite Purusha Suktam, Narayan Suktam, Sri Suktam, everything. Brother Veda Narayan, who is the authority on Veda Mantrochar, he has certified us and said that yes, you are okay. The reason why I am saying is this, that when there is a will, there is a way. And the inspiration has come from Bhagavan. I remember once, it was Sunday morning, the Veda Mantrochars were going on, Bhagavan was standing in the railing, and he was facing towards the primary school children, and you know how they react, when Bhagavan himself is physically standing there. Their voices, they go sky high. And they were literally, not I would say singing, but shouting, Sri Suktam. And Bhagavan could not hide his joy. There is one thing I must want to remind my listeners, that Bhagavan was extremely transparent. He could never hide his feeling. His eyes were shining like diamonds. And that moment of joy, he called me. When the Sri Suktam was being recited, and he asked me, a puppet, do you know this sutram? Luckily for me, I knew it. So I said, Baba, but I was still very hesitant because, you know, I knew that I might be making mistake and I don't want to take the liberty of saying, yes, I'm perfect. Because only God is perfect. So I said, Baba, thoda bahut aata hai. I know a little bit. He said, but they know everything. When are you going to learn? When are you going to learn? And then he said, there are no classes for them. There are no teachers for them. Puppet, you know how they have learned? Shunvantu. And then he pulled his own ear. Only by listening. Parayanam. That's how, during the Gurukul system, during Upanishad time, the preceptor used to transmit the knowledge. Only by listening. And I am very happy to say that all my Gram Seva boys, I have learnt Rudram, Sri Suktam, Narayan Suktam, Narayan Upanishad, only by listening. That gives me great joy. Number two, our preparation, as I said, starts from Shivratri. When we go to the villages and when we work with the students, we realize that here is the army of Swami, which is not regulated by command and control, but by love and devotion. It comes from within. It is not the question of finishing the work. It is a question of accomplishing the work. There is so much of difference. We have learned that. And then when we see people at physical level, down and under, not having all the modern amenities that one can think of, forget about the luxuries, they are living on basic things. We go back with this satisfaction that how fortunate we are that Bhagavan has given us everything and he has also given us the sense to understand the pain of others. Bhagavan once very beautifully told me, Brother Pushti, Papet, Vibhuti, Achhi Baat Hai. Go one step forward. Anubhuti. Vibhuti, Anubhuti, go one step forward. Sahanubhuti.
Wow.
Don't be satisfied with Vibhuti. Che, che, che. That is very being selfish. Go one step forward and have Anubhuti, your own satisfaction, your own experience, Svahanubhav. I do not realize, I do not need to be told that God is powerful, God is omniscient, God is omnipotent, God is omnipresent. No, it is my own experience. I do not need reference books or library to teach me. It is my own experience and I am fully convinced that this is what it is. It is like, I am convinced that my mother is all that matters to me. My father doesn't have to convince me. But Bhagwan also, out of his immense grace, told me, go one step forward, puppet. Even that experience is useless if that experience is not universal. Sahanubhuti. When somebody is happy and you are happy, it's not a big deal. And that's why he gave us the Mahamantra. Ask yourself, does your heart beat only for yourself or for others too? If it is beating for others, then you are living. Otherwise you are only existing. Otherwise you are only existing like a tiger exists in the wild. This is the beauty Bhagwan explained. And this is what we are here as a team of Gram Seva boys who come to experience these beautiful moments, so that when we go back and when we see a man standing at the bus stop and when I'm going through my Mercedes car, I realize it in no uncertain terms that puppet is sitting in this Mercedes 230 class C, not because of his merit and qualification and his bravery and his cleverness, but because that man has been praying for me, samasta loka sukhino bhavantu, samasta loka sukhino bhavantu. It is because of his blessing I'm sitting here.
Wow.
That is sahanubhuti. And then my heart melts out of gratitude and I bow down to my master and I said, Baba, I love you, I need you, I deserve you. Tasmat tvameva sharanam mama dina bandho, tasmat tvameva sharanam mama deva deva, tasmat tvameva sharanam mama sahai deva.
Amazing. Huh? Such a beautiful thing you shared. Vibhuti, anubhuti, sahanubhuti.
Sahanubhuti.
I think I would say to me, that is one of the messages from the Dasara celebrations, because whatever is offered into the fire ultimately turns into vibhuti. And the experience that we get from this yajnam has to be converted ultimately. If we say we have got an experience, it has to be converted into sahanubhuti, which is to feel for the other. And that is what the whole cycle of vibhuti to sahanubhuti is what happens in the Dasara, in the yajnam to the Gram Seva. And it is really amazing that you shared this with us, and I think it really gives us a perspective about how we should make use of this beautiful gift of this festival that Bhagwan has given to us, and how we should learn to see things not at the ritual level but at the spiritual level, at the societal level, at from a larger perspective of vyakti srishti. Bhagwan used to say that the cycle of vyasti, samasti, srishti, parameshti. We have to keep everything in mind as we celebrate these festivals, and only then probably we'll have that larger picture, and so that these festivals then automatically will without fail broaden our hearts, and that is what is so much needed. Thank you so much, sir, for coming to the studios, and I know it is late in the night and you have many things to do, and in spite of so many challenges, you decided to come and spoke with so much of passion and devotion, and I'm sure it has stirred many hearts, and it will continue to stir many hearts as we play this, replay this, as they listen to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Dada Pushti, and Radio Sai, and the listeners of all the Radio Sai. I will only say from the bottom of my heart, at the cost of repetition, let's hold on to the Master like Arjuna did to Vasudeva Krishna. Jai Sai Ram.
Jai Sai Ram. So dear listeners, with that we come to the end of this segment. Outside, inside, deep inside, on this beautiful Thursday, and I think this was a beautiful curtain raiser for the celebrations. and the deliberations on the Dasara festival in the coming weeks will dwell more, because there are, as you can see, the Dasara celebration in Prashant Nilam has so many dimensions to it. So we will, by Swami's grace, try to understand and unravel whatever we can gather through the anubhutis, the experiences of so many people, and see off from these what ways we can translate that into our lives, and you know, into our way of living, as he very beautifully said, into the sahanubhuti aspect, how we can feel for the other. So if you have any queries, any suggestions, how you felt about this program, please feel free as always to write to listener@radiosai.org. And even as I sign off, you will continue to listen in a couple of minutes from now, a program which is a drama which is presented by the Orissa Sai Youth on 23rd April 2012 in front of Bhagwan, A Pilgrimage to Myself. That was the program which you will continue to listen even as I sign off. Thank you so much for being with us all through the day. And finally, on behalf of all of us at Radio Sai, a loving Sai Ram and a sweet goodbye from Prashant Nilayam. Keep listening. Let us immerse ourselves in His love and His message, His glory.